everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's deleted book entry is Season 2, Episode 25, Meeting Mr. Pony. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
It's not like I'm going crazy. Brenda gets held up at gunpoint. Season 2, Episode 25, Meeting Mr. Pony. Half a dozen contrivances conspire to leave Brenda alone in the peach pit after a late-night study session with the gang. If Brandon had locked the front door, the junky thief who forces Brenda to empty the register, then makes her thank him for telling her she's pretty, might have tried his luck elsewhere. As it is, Brenda's traumatized, and, at least as far as we're concerned, it's Brandon's fault. On the plus side, the robber can't have gotten away with much cash, given how few customers Nat actually charges. Shannon Doherty's portrayal of paralyzing terror and rippling post-traumatic anxiety is quite well done. But among the other factors working against Beverly Hills 90210, bad writing, casting nepotism, a braying jackass protagonist, is an average episode's runtime in 1991. What feels tense and well-drawn at 41 minutes can lose a lot of momentum in 46, and we see so many flashbacks to and nightmares about the robbery over the course of the episode that by the time Brenda's asked to look at a lineup, we could not only pick out the perp, we could draw him for the wanted poster ourselves. The episode tries, admirably, to destigmatize counseling, but the messaging is stilted, when it's not downright weird. Brenda puts on a brave face, but eventually decompensates and admits she can't continue on her own. And that's important for viewers to hear, but by the time she says it, it's been a mere 2 days since the incident. The set designer's conception of a therapist's office with Brenda and the counselor in two side-by-side wing chairs is not a thing. It's nice of David to volunteer that he's had therapy, but why have him go to work through his parents' divorce, but not after he witnessed Scott's fatal gun accident? And Jim hoping that Brenda doesn't need to use the crisis hotline the cops recommended because she's already so dramatic and suggestible that she might turn the event into an even bigger deal is typical of her family's maddening attitude toward her. There's a lot of mansplaining here from Brandon, the guy, let's not forget, who failed to lock the front door and missed the whole robbery because he was juggling cans in the alley like a dingus, braying at her that she has to do the police lineup, to Dylan telling her to calm down. It's the least the writers could do to give Shando a classic Brenda rant, and they do. She rips the men in her life 5 new ones each for telling her how to feel, then marches down to the station and picks out her assailant, a strung-out 17-year-old. That this seems to give her pat closure mere days after the incident, and forever, the show soon forgets this ever happened, isn't terribly realistic, but Mr. Pony gets closer than most to something real. As we mentioned the last time, we before the book really went to into proper production, we had these cross-referencing tags at the bottom, and the tags for this one included issues plot, forehead kisses, Walsh parenting, Brenda dismissed as drama queen, not how mental health professionaling works, mm-hmm. all better by the end, and Nat quit giving food away.
a rich, rich document. Yeah,
truly, I'm wondering if we could just do the tags and then people can guess what the episode is, but Nat giving food away narrows it down, not a skosh.
No, no kidding.
Tara, your thoughts on Meeting Mr. Pony?
I mean, beautifully written, of course.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think that we included this. God, season two, we have like so many entries. It really like... So that people know, like, it obviously is not a balanced book. Most of the entries are from the first 4 seasons
finale, I think we have 2 episodes from season 10. I think, just too many, in my opinion.
I think there's 3. Maybe you're right. But yeah, it's season 2, we had a lot. So it was mm-hmm. it was hard to decide. But this one I think we included because, you know, it was one of the first ones where someone in the cast is the victim of a crime. You know, we definitely included the one from season one where someone in the cast is the perpetrator of a crime. That's for sure. Brandon.
Brandon.
But yeah, this I think we decided to cut it because, as you say in the entry, it's like it happens and then it's swiftly forgotten. The only reason it is mentioned again when they're coming, Brenda and Dylan are coming back from Mexico and they get detained because she crossed the border with no ID because it was stolen. Her driver's license was stolen. And that's right. All you needed to cross at that time was a driver's license.
Yeah. God, that's right.
But all I remember about this episode is Brenda and her therapist in their side-by-side wing chairs, which like you can only tell when they're looking at each other because we never get a two shot of them like sitting side by side, but they clearly are. And it's so weird.
Yeah. And there's a couple of shots where Brenda has to like peer around the wing to see the therapist. Like,
yeah. It's very strange.
I can see this being the way the office is laid out for certain patients who might suffer from crippling shyness or anxiety, I guess.
Or if you're like in couples therapy and like you and your partner are sitting side by side and your therapist is across from you. But yeah, this arrangement makes no sense. But yeah, it's, you know, we could lose it. We have other episodes where people are victims of crimes and it made more sense to leave them in. So.
Yeah, and certainly this was not the only episode in this particular run of the show where people are acting like Brenda is a crazy toddler.
Exactly, especially Jim. So, God. But yes, God. Well done. And I'm glad that it lives on in this form.
Yeah.